One of the hallmarks of emotional attacks is the particular piece around being on guard to protect against bias. And so we've seen that play out in a way that impacts sleep and intention to quit at work. But the interesting thing here is that being on guard to protect against bias doesn't have to be just about being on guard at work. It can be anything that happens outside of work, which then impacts people's experience in the workplace. So that really provides a unique opportunity for workplaces to focus on the holistic picture of what the experiences of people of color in the workplace.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. Imagine feeling the need to protect yourself every day from unfair treatment and negative attention at work. You devote time and energy consciously preparing to face each day, which you know comes with the potential for large and small acts of bias, exclusion, discrimination, and marginalization. You're constantly on guard, having to protect yourself against what others might say or do, whether they intend to exclude you or not. Throughout the day, you might find yourself bracing for insults, avoiding social interactions and places, or adjusting your appearance to protect against hurtful situations. You live each day in a constant state of being on guard. This is the experience that 60% of racial and ethnic minorities share at work, according to research conducted by the nonprofit consultancy Catalyst. This experience is known as emotional attacks. It's the mental and emotional strain caused by the daily experience of exclusion, discrimination, and bias for racial and ethnic minority men and women. Emotional attacks negatively impacts businesses as well, as employees are more likely to leave and less likely to be productive, effective, and engaged in their work. On this episode, you'll hear from Dr. Danica Travis, Vice President of Research at Catalyst and a recognized researcher, educator, and change leader, especially when it comes to the topic of emotional attacks. On this episode, Danica will unpack this important issue for men and women, and importantly, what workplaces need to do to fix it. Being the only one of a different culture in my workplace, I'm constantly on guard, particularly when racist jokes come up or talk about the presidential election happens. I'm always on guard. Therefore, I have to take a breather outside, take a break, or just mentally take myself out of the situation and think positive things about my family, my kids, and ignore what I cannot change. That was Sandra, a Latina first-level manager who was surveyed as part of Catalyst's work to understand how emotional attacks shows up at work. Their research examined the emotional attacks experienced by Asian, Black, Latina, and multiracial professional men and women in the United States as they aspire to advance and contribute to their organization. Constantly being on guard, consciously preparing to deal with potential bias or discrimination, takes a toll. Employees who feel on guard are most likely to want to leave their employers. Here, Dr. Danica Travis, who leads research initiatives at Catalyst and whose most renowned research covers the important issue of emotional attacks experienced by people of color at work, shares more on the detrimental impact this issue can have.
Emotional attacks is a concept that we identified in an original piece of research at Catalyst focused on the unique experiences of women and men of color. And we wanted to better understand the ways in which the daily lived experiences of women and men of color really impact their ability to thrive at work. And so through our research, which I can definitely get more into, we define emotional attacks at Catalyst as that experience of feeling different because of a combination of your gender, race, ethnicity, and the experience of being on guard to protect against bias and discrimination, and the impact of those, the combination of those on health and well-being at work. One of the hallmarks of emotional attacks is the particular piece around being on guard to protect against bias. And so we've seen that play out in a way that impacts sleep and intention to quit at work. But the interesting thing here is that being on guard to protect against bias doesn't have to be just about being on guard at work. It can be anything that happens outside of work, which then impacts people's experience in the workplace. So that really provides a unique opportunity for workplaces to focus on the holistic picture of what the experiences of people of color in the workplace. When we talk about being on guard, we're talking about that persistent and constant vigilance that it takes to protect yourself from the potential of being discriminated against, being treated unfairly, dealing with stereotypes, microaggressions, and bias. And it shows up in different ways. In our study, we looked at the ways in which people may adapt to change perhaps their aspects of their physical appearance. We heard a lot of stories about people downplaying aspects of their identity in order to kind of ward off the potential of being discriminated or treated unfairly. We learned that there are ways of avoiding certain interactions at work to protect, and then just a general everyday part of bracing yourself to deal with insults and the potential of those insults, and just that on guardness, if you will, to protect against that. That's really powerful and palpable for people.
The research undertaken by Catalyst is groundbreaking because it highlights the different experiences of inequality and the associated impact for employees based on their individual differences. It's often assumed that everyone experiences workplaces in the same way, but this simply isn't the case. The bias we experience or engage in at home follows us to work. Organizations are not set up to value difference. Gender, race, class, sexual orientation, age, religion, physical or mental ability, all combine to create different experiences of inequality at work. Understanding these lived experiences is the key to creating cultures of equality. Here, Danica shares more on her research and why emotional tax is also a critical issue for men.
In terms of the outcomes, we've had three iterations of this study so far. So our first study looked at experiences of Black women and men in the United States. And there we looked at the impact on psychological safety and the connection to psychological safety, which obviously has impact to ability to feel safe and take risk at work and speak up around difficult issues. So it plays out in that way. In our second study, we focused on women and men of color in the United States. And in our third study, women and men of color in Canada. And in the latter two studies, both we really found a deep connection from the experience of being on guard, particularly, and intention to quit. In Canada, for example, there was really an alarming rate of over 50 to 69% of Black, East Asian, and South Asian professionals who were on guard have a real high intention to quit, which is really alarming and obviously has impact for employers and for talent and developing talent within organizations. Interestingly enough, we looked through our study, we found it even across race and ethnicity groups and across genders that there is a shared experience of emotional tax. So in our U.S. study, nearly 60% across the board had that experience of being on guard. That's an alarming number. However, when we did ask from an intersectional frame to better understand why you might be having these experiences of being on guard. So we asked questions among women and men of color. So you feel on guard to protect against bias from race-related issues, gender, sexual orientation. Some people offered some information on that. Spiritual and religious beliefs, physical appearance, really trying to get a deeper look into why people are experiencing being on guard. And we found different rates among men and women in particular. But one of the really interesting things that emerged from this study is that we did find that men of color in both our study in US and Canada did have an experience of being on guard because of their gender. That about 1/4 in the United States and a little bit less in Canada had an experience of being on guard and indicated that gender bias was one of those reasons. And for us, we found that really intriguing and important to help us better understand how intersectionality plays out, because there is a unique experience of being a man and being a person of color that overlap and create specific dynamics. We think about the stereotypes of Black men being too aggressive. We think about machismo culture and the stereotypes of that for Latino men. There are all these stereotypes that play out that are important for organizations to understand and be able to look at those uniquely within those specific social identities.
Emotional tax is a critical issue at an individual level, as it negatively impacts employees' mental, physical, and emotional well-being. Emotional tax means that employees don't feel safe to be themselves at work. That is, emotional tax reduces psychological safety at work. Interest in the importance of psychological safety has increased globally over the years because of the cost to businesses. For many organizations, roughly 40 to 45% of reported absence is attributable to psychological factors like worry, anxiety, stress, and depression. Companies that tackle this issue see improvement in employee engagement levels, turnover, and absenteeism. Given the economic importance of this issue, Australia and Canada now have legislation in place that requires employers to provide safe places to work, and this includes a psychological dimension. Employees who suffer psychological harm in their workplace are able to obtain compensation. Here, Danica outlines the consequences of not feeling safe at work.
In our studies, we take an important approach of really wanting to understand qualitative experiences, right? We want those stories and we want to understand the patterns and the trends in the stories to really get at that. And so what we've heard in many cases, that I am thinking of an example of one of our interviewee participants, more frontline employee who worked at a call center and talked about how on the call that people assumed that she was white and made different references to ethnic groups, you know, that were stereotypical or jokes. And she would often hear different kind of subtleties that were offensive to her or stereotypical of her own identity as well. And when she talked about it and expressed that to her supervisor, she was actually encouraged to suppress her identity. And so we think about how taxing and how draining that could be on an individual and how that can have an impact on potential productivity. So that's one type of many, many stories that we've heard of people really having to deal with delicate issues as well. The impact of being on guard had an impact on intention to quit and those alarming statistics. It also had a relationship and link to sleep problems. So among women and men of color who have high levels of being on guard also have a greater propensity to have sleep problems. And that has real implications for productivity and, you know, our health and well-being at work.
The highest performing teams have one thing in common: the belief that you won't be punished when you make a mistake. According to a recent HBR study entitled "High Performing Teams Need Psychological Safety, Here's How to Create It," this freedom to fail is psychological safety, and studies show that it's really important when it comes to innovation, creativity, inclusion, and problem solving. If employees don't feel valued and safe to be themselves at work, they won't have the freedom to engage in the behavior that leads to breakthroughs. Put simply, we become more open-minded, resilient, motivated, and persistent when we feel safe. Here, Danica shares more on the link between psychological safety and organizational outcomes.
Psychological safety is a really important concept to understand and to dig a bit deeper, and really for employers and leaders and managers to act upon. So psychological safety is that experience of feeling like you can take risk, address tough issues without the fear of reprisal or undue penalty for those behaviors at work. And if we think about it in the context of emotional tax, when people have an experience of being on guard and feel different or like outsiders in their work, it adds another layer to the potential for them to feel psychologically unsafe in the work and operating out of a fear that they may be penalized if they don't go extra or above and beyond to deliver in the workplace. For companies and leaders, I think breaking it down and defining what it really means for you in practice and actionable, because people have made different views on it. What may feel like a risk for one person, for example, I've seen in work that we've done, putting a suggestion in a box could be a risk for somebody, right? To say, I have this concern or complaint and not even talking with someone about it, sharing it in an anonymous way, it can be a form of a risk, where for somebody else that may not feel like that. So I think there's a room for leaders to set standards and define what they mean by psychological safety and then develop competencies for people to deliver on those expectations, but really be minute and tangible to make it actionable for people.
Innovation is the key to survival in the future world of work. Companies must innovate continuously to create new markets, experiences, products, services, content, or processes. So how can leaders encourage innovation? create cultures of equality. The consulting firm Accenture has found that a culture of equality, which is a kind of work environment that helps everyone to advance to higher positions, enhances both innovation and growth. In a culture of equality, employees are 6 times more likely to have an innovation mindset. That is, employees feel more willing and able to innovate. Creating this starts and stops with leaders. Here, Danica shares why.
In an inclusive environment and an empowering environment where people can contribute and have that sense of being valued for their unique attributes, have that sense of belonging. In our Canada study, having managers that really help to create an empowering environment where people have the resources and the tools that they need to succeed were really key factors in helping to mitigate emotional attacks. And so there is a complete role of the culture and the climate within an organization that can have a great impact on people's ability to address and deal with emotional attacks at work. And so ensuring, I would advise and think about ensuring ways that people can have the resources that they need to thrive and fair opportunities at work to help mitigate. We can all do well by taking the time to really make sure we understand different perspectives, understand and affirm different people's experiences, creating an empowering environment where people have autonomy in their jobs and resources and the support they need to know. In our work, we really have 4 strategies around that. Talk to me, trust me, equip me, and stand by me in my job. And thinking about the role of the talk to me piece is ensuring that we are having and open to having difficult conversations, that employers and organizations are really focused on how do you help people talk across differences and really deal with some of the murkier issues that may come up. How do you help people move past kind of that likes phenomenon where we're hiring and recruiting people who look like yourself and ensuring that we're, you know, really having those conversations to change the game within our teams and organizations to ensure that people are valued and affirmed is really critical.
As Danica's research on emotional attacks so clearly demonstrates, employees' lived experiences of workplaces matter. Leaders can take this seriously by investing time and energy to understand how subtle forms of exclusion, favoritism, bias, microaggressions, and stereotyping play out in their teams. This starts with having open conversations with employees about their experiences of inequality at work. Creating an environment in which all employees feel that they belong or where each person's differences are appreciated starts with openly confronting all the ways that employees don't feel valued because of their differences. Leaders can start to talk about inequality in team meetings or one-on-ones to get a sense of what challenges employees experience because of their identities and what impact this creates, as well as what needs to be done to remove these challenges. Thank you so much for tuning into our episode today. If you're interested in partnering with me or being a guest on the show, then please reach out through my website, thefixpodcast.org. You can also sign up to my weekly newsletter and contribute your story there. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you all again next week.